Welcome to Because I Said So on Delmarva Public Radio. You're joining Jackie Jennings, Kathy Bassett, Kim Hudson, and myself, Jenny Pastisak. We have a full show ahead. We're talking about drinking in front of your kids. You know, it will be St. Patty's Day. It is St. Patty's Day, and we want to know if you plan to maybe have a beverage in front of your kids. Also, TV. Are your kids addicted to watching TV? How you can limit the amount of time that they spend in front of the boob tube. And we're also talking about sports. When is enough too much when it comes to transporting your kids to every single sports event, practice, and game? And maybe it's just a little too much.
Don't sit so close, turn it down, no texting at the table. No.
Welcome back to Because I Said So. Because it's St. Patrick's Day, we want to wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day. And we also want to talk about something related to this day, because many kids out there will probably be witness to their parents consuming a bit of alcohol.
No.
Or maybe they're going to consume it with them. I don't know. And that's the topic, you know? Are you going to drink with your kids? Are you going to let your kids drink in front of you? Are you going to provide the alcohol? Do you even drink in front of your kids? Some parents don't. I do. I will admit. I'm Jenny, by the way. I really don't feel like there's a need to hide it from my children, because it's something that I do as an adult. They know it's an adult beverage. I have caught one of them gardening one time, chugging my beer because I wasn't paying attention. And
wait, you really garden while drinking beer? That is fascinating.
Why? It makes it
I don't
fun.
Know. I never thought of that before. Okay, go ahead.
But he really liked the taste of it. It's kind of scary.
Really?
He's
Who
five.
Who likes the taste of beer the
Nicholas,
first time
he's they... He's 5 years old and likes the taste of beer.
Holy cow. Okay.
So I grabbed it from him.
Keep
you know,
an
I'm
eye
not gonna,
on that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to allow him to do that again. But he was curious. And then he had the talk. It's an adult drink. Children are not allowed to drink it. But I drink it. And then Stephen comes home from school and says, Mommy, alcohol is poison. Why do you drink poison?
Oh, man.
And then you have the talk again.
Yes.
And, right.
Yes.
And
but,
so why do you drink poison? How do you respond to that?
I know I said I agree with you that you learned in school that alcohol is poison, but there are drinks made with alcohol that are legal to drink for anyone over the age of 21. And Mommy likes those drinks, so she does drink them. They have never seen me drunk, so they don't really know what drunk is yet.
Wow.
And it is interesting, though, how fascinated children are with, I mean, my husband and I both have wine with dinner every night, just about every night. But, you know, we were at a restaurant a couple weeks ago. We were at Cactus Taverna. And at the end of your dinner, they give you a little glass of port. And so, you know, it was the two of us. They gave us some port and they gave Ben some grape juice. But he thought it was wine because it was in the same kind of glass and it looked just like ours. And he drank it and said it was the best thing that he ever tasted. And he was very excited that he was drinking with the grown-ups. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I mean, this was weeks and weeks ago, he tells us how much he loves wine. He had it at a restaurant. And I think,
what is
the fascination here? And is it just because you want to be a grown-up? You know, so I don't have the heart to tell him that he was just drinking grape juice, but
you don't want him walking around telling everyone he
exactly,
had wine with
he's
you
drinking
at dinner.
Wine at dinner. Exactly. Exactly.
Your son's a little bit older, so you're at that stage, Kathy, where he may want to participate.
Well, my son is 15, and so far, knocking on wood as I speak, there seems to be not a lot of interest in that. But he did go away recently with some friends, friends of mine, I should say. One of his best friends, and I've known they've grown up together, and so I really love and respect the parents. And she asked me, you know, they were going to be having dinner, and it was I can't remember if it was New Year's, but it was a big night, and they were going to be celebrating, and would it be all right if I served your son a glass of wine with dinner to celebrate? And I have to say, of all people who are going to introduce alcohol to my son, I would want it to be her, because she's just so responsible and so mature, and, you know, they would talk about it, and, you know. So I said, of course. I didn't expect, you know, I figured he'd probably, you know, turn it down or whatever. Apparently he did not turn it down. He he sipped it and didn't seem to be fazed by it at all, which was fine. So, Yeah, but we're fast approaching that. Now, I want to tell one other story. I had a neighbor a while ago. She doesn't live next door to me anymore, but she...
That's good.
No, I miss her. She was a lot of fun. But she would come over to my house to drink in front of... You know, she had a big problem drinking in front of her children. Her children did not know that she consumed alcohol. I believe she had an alcoholic in her family, and it was a sensitive topic.
Oh.
But she felt that it was okay to come over to my house and drink in front of her kids, who would be around, always in the red Solo cup. So, you know.
And in front of her kids or in front of your kids?
Both my kids and her kids would be.
But they didn't know what she had in that red Solo cup.
But they were fascinated by it. They were constantly coming over and smelling it. And, you know, and she'd say, oh, it's just spoiled grape juice. It's just, Miss Kathy served me spoiled grape juice. And I'd look at her like, really? Like, yeah. So I get in trouble because I don't know how to serve properly distilled grape juice. So
they knew, right?
Well, I don't think they did. I mean, I honestly think that it for her, I mean, they may have known, but they're pretty young. But I did find that a bit troubling that it's okay to lie to your kids, but it's not okay to drink in front of them. You know what I mean? I think it's important. I do drink in front of my children. I do think it's important to teach your kids that it's okay to consume alcohol in a responsible way. And there are inherent problems with alcohol. I have, my late father was an alcoholic, and mm-hmm. it's an issue in my family, so it's something I'm sensitive about. But I do think we have an obligation to teach kids because they're going to be confronted with alcohol at parties, yes. You know, it probably in high school, certainly in college, and they're going to have to come up with some, you know, a game plan on how they're going to deal with it.
I think it's interesting if you look at how you were raised. And for me, alcohol was not introduced in my house at all. My parents did not drink. And in my husband's house, they did. They had a cocktail with dinner every night, sometimes more than one, and it was just the norm. And my husband and I, in our college days, were pretty much the same person. We, coming from two different backgrounds, mm-hmm. it didn't really change. It didn't change for me how much I indulged, and it didn't for him either. I think that's interesting.
Now, do you drink in front of your parents now?
You know, that's funny that you ask. I do, but it took a long time to be comfortable with that. But I will have a glass of wine, and my dad will have a glass of wine with me too. It was really more my mom, but it's just not their thing, and you know, that's cool. But I did have a hard time feeling comfortable.
See, I love having a glass of wine or sharing a bottle of wine with my mom. I just really enjoy that experience. I don't know.
But would you share a bottle of wine with your kids? I mean, I think that's the big question at this point is the parents who seem to be in two different camps. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll serve my kids alcohol at home because I can watch them. I can control it. I know it's safe. They're not driving anywhere. They're not going out. Or absolutely not. No alcohol until you're 21.
That is such a tough subject because, I mean, the rules are so much more different today than they were, you know, when I was growing up. And when I was growing up, my parents let us drink at home and they encouraged it for the same reasons in terms of not being on the road and driving. But now parents are being held accountable for that. And so it's a whole different ballgame. And I don't know how we're going to deal with that. I feel strongly that I want him to know that, you know, the legal age of drinking is 21, and I think we're just going to have to stick to that. And the problem is denying and you know, burying your head in the sand, pretending like they're not doing it.
I agree, because you may say absolutely not until you're of legal age, but you know what? Chances are a lot of them are still going to go out there, find a way to get the alcohol,
but not in your house.
Exactly. No, right? And I wonder if it is different if you grow up. You know, my kids will grow up watching me have a glass of wine with dinner. You know, no harm, no foul. Is it different if you have an alcoholic parent and you see them stumbling around, or you have parents who don't drink at all and you have mm-hmm. no exposure to alcohol? I mean, I'll be curious to see where my kids fall into that.
And sometimes, too, when you're not allowed to have anything like that at home, you're going to go overboard.
Oh, yeah. Girls in college. Absolutely.
I knew plenty of kids in college like that who had strict parents, went nuts at school.
I was one of them.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I didn't. My father didn't drink when I was growing up, so really, my first taste of alcohol was—I wasn't really much in high school. It was in college. So there's going to be some that follow the rules, some that go overboard. You just don't know.
Well, and as we said, and we will say again, we are not the experts at this.
No,
it's just
we're
a
still
topic
getting through worth- this. We're still going to have to work through this with our children. Kathy, you're just a little bit closer than us, so tell us how it goes, okay?
Yeah, I'll be taking notes. Hopefully you won't be reading about it in the newspaper.
No. All right, when we come back on Because I Said So, we're going to talk about TV. Are your kids addicted? What do you do to limit the amount of time that they're in front of the TV?
It's our 25th anniversary, and we have a big surprise for you. We're giving away a brand new iPad 3 during our spring fundraising campaign, March 23rd through the 30th. An iPad 3 can be yours and soon. Just call us during our spring on-air fundraiser and enter your name in our grand prize drawing for the new iPad 3. Join in on the excitement of celebrating 25 years on the air. See the iPad 3 online and contest rules at DelmarvaPublicRadio.net.
Welcome back to Because I Said So. You can join our conversation, send us your thoughts, comments on our Facebook page, Because I Said So, and our website as well. It's becauseisaidsoradio.com. Our next topic, talked about topic a lot with a lot of parents and their children, is TV. Do your children watch too much TV? And I would have to vote, yes, mine do.
Absolutely, mine do. Mm-hmm.
I have one of each. One, a 7-year-old who's an addict, and an 8-year-old who couldn't care less.
I'm like the TV Nazi. Sorry. I really limit TV in my house because I do have one who would be very much addicted.
Which one?
My oldest.
And how old is he?
11. Yes, and he becomes a zombie. If the TV is on, and he's been that way since a little kid, he's like a zombie. He doesn't want to go and do anything else. He doesn't hear what's going on around him. Mm-hmm. So we just limit it. We take away that problem.
Yeah, Chris, you have a little one. You say no TV.
We have a no TV rule until he's at least a little past two. You know, for the most
two.
Part.
How old is he now?
Well, he's 15 months, so.
And did you get that from your pediatrician? Because that's the recommendation.
That's basically what
he told
us.
No TV before the age of two.
Zero TV before the age of two.
Or it ruins your life? Is that
it? Clearly, your communication skills.
Exactly.
So obviously, I watched TV before I was two.
I just think it's bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Well, really? Some parents turn to it as a babysitter of sorts.
Yeah, and I will say that I take full responsibility for my daughter's addiction. And I really had to think about this because I am not a TV addict, but I am, as you all know, a gadget addict. You know, I'm sitting here with my iPad, my iPhone right in front of me. So I've always had TiVo. And I've had TiVo since the moment it came out. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. So my kids grew up watching TiVo. They learned how to turn the TV on, how to turn the TiVo on, pick the show they wanted to watch, and watched it. And really, when they were 4 or 5 years old, they didn't understand that not every show was available immediately on demand. Well, right. Why can't we watch it? Well, because it's not on TiVo. And you know, I would just get a blank stare. So I totally, absolutely, positively encourage this. But yeah, the 7-year-old would sit in front of the TV for 14 hours a day if I let her. So we do. We limit it severely at this point to pretty much just weekends.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'm okay. The problem is when your whole household doesn't really agree with the amount of TV watched. And I'm okay with not having the TV on. I have the radio on all the time. I'm always listening to music. My kids kind of know that about me. I don't watch a lot of television. There are a few shows that I like, but my husband does have the TV on. Now, it's usually sports or something like that, but he would have it on constantly. So if he's not home, no TV is on. If he's home, it's on. And then guess where my son is?
Right beside
him. Right in front of the TV.
Yeah, my husband doesn't watch a lot of TV, but the TV that he watches is the same thing all the time. So, you know, somewhere the movie Casino is on, apparently. We have all the movie channels. It's on one of those channels 24 hours a day. Or Law and Order. He has seen every single Law and Order episode 12 times, I gotta tell you. He loves Angie Harmon the best, by the way. But anyway.
Do your kids like to watch it with him?
No. He watches TV by himself. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but mostly because we're also tired of the shows that he watches. You know, there are other things on TV. Antiques Roadshow is another one. He never misses an Antiques Roadshow. But anyway, my kids definitely are addicted to the TV. I mean, it is, they just, they sit in front of the TV for hours on end. I'm completely 100% guilty of that. I could use some tips here. Are we giving out any tips?
We'll give out some.
We are.
Yeah, we have some tips in a minute. But I wanted to point out whenever you were talking about your 15-month-old, Chris, that now they're saying even secondhand TV is bad. So even if your toddler is not watching TV, just having a TV on in the room.
But I'm confused. I don't understand.
Bad for them. I don't know.
But it's okay to put a mobile up and have them stare at that. But somehow moving objects on a TV is not
okay. Well, you know, and I had to think about this for a minute. But, you know, my husband would be in front of a football game every Sunday. And when Ben was little, he would toddle around. And now, of course, he's a, you know, diehard football, every station, every game. But boy, when he was two, he could recite every beer commercial that was out there. And he wasn't watching it. He was just in the room.
Hearing it.
And they're like little sponges.
Yeah, and could tell me every jingle of every Budweiser commercial that there was.
There's just not a lot of good programming. I'm sorry, that just on a regular basis, if you're watching a show, they're not family friendly, I don't think. I guess it all...
Certainly network TV, as you know, it used to be, you know, that they wouldn't put on racier shows until, you know, they certainly wouldn't put them in prime time, I guess.
Or yeah, I was saying, we the other night, Two Broke Girls came on, and... You don't think, you know, well, if it's not HBO, it's not so bad, or it was horrendous. The language was insane. The actual material and what they were talking about was insane, and we had to change the channel.
Yeah, and that is uncomfortable. Now, that being said, hello, we've got, what, 600 channels to choose from? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, my son, to his credit, loves watching, you know, nature programming. He's fascinated with the ghost hunters. There's ghost hunters all over the planet seeking ghosts. Apparently they never find them. I don't know. But anyway, so there is such a huge variety of programming out there. But I do think some of the network programming that's on during the evening is not the best stuff for kids to watch.
Like you
for
said,
sure.
You know, the History Channel, when Shark Week comes on, my husband and my boys are glued to Shark Week. And I'm okay with that. I mean, that's fascinating. It's nature.
Yeah.
It's what happens in our world. And they probably learned something from it. So I'm okay with that.
Now, I'm looking at the tips here of how to limit your children, you know, if they do have a problem, which mine does. And as I'm reading through this, I'm laughing because clearly this was not written by a mom, because it says, preview the programs before your kids watch them. Really? Like, I have time to do that. But here are a couple things you can do. First of all, you should, if you're not already aware, you should be aware that most TVs now have the parental controls and you can set them. Mm-hmm. So figure out how to set them if you're not a gadget
person. I have
done
that, but here's my thing. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of TVs. So I did on the big TV. So, you know, like certain programs will come up and it's blocked, which is, my husband like looks at me like, really? But
I haven't done that.
Oh, no, you definitely have to do that. You definitely have to do that. But every TV, I got to go around and do that.
You got to do that on every
TV. I mean,
TV.
Come on.
Yeah, because your kids are smarter than you. We all know this at this
point. Oh, I know.
Our kids are smarter than we are.
Sometimes I do wonder, yeah, oh, my gosh, are they watching that channel? Because After Dark on TV is really bad.
Understand what the ratings are. You know, we now all ignore them. They're up in the corner at the beginning of the show. But, you know what the ratings are. And if it says it's inappropriate, then make that decision. Set a good example. By limiting your own TV viewing.
Oh, yeah.
I know. That's what I need to do. And, you know, try a weekday ban. That's really what we ended up doing. There was just too much going on after school to fit TV in there, too. So, you know,
I do like using it as a punishment, though. I mean that's the one of the things that they will respond to is no TV for 2 weeks, you know. And
2 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. What do you have to do to get that?
Well, we don't need to go there.
I use it as a punishment, too.
That's something that they obviously enjoy. And as your kids get older, you will discover there's less and less, you know, there's fewer and fewer tools to use to get them to change their behavior.
But, you know, it just becomes a habit like anything else. I mean, if it's a habit that you come home and you turn the TV on, you have to kind of break yourself or your kids of that habit so that they find other things to do.
Yes.
I find I have to really encourage my kids, okay, you've got some free time. What else can you find to do?
Yes.
I loved it. Actually, last night, my husband came home from work and popped his head in the room and said, I'm going to take the boys out and throw some ball because, you know, it's baseball season's coming up. And they were outside until dinner time throwing the ball back and forth. They ran in, got me. They're like, look at this. Look what Nick can do. And it was a cool moment. It was very enjoyable.
Were you in front of the TV when they came
No, I was in front of my laptop, though. I was working, though.
Yeah.
And speaking of baseball season coming up, when we return, we're going to talk about sports. When is too much too much when your kids are involved in sports and you're driving around like a maniac to get them to every single game and practice that they need to attend? We'll be right back.
Thank you. This is Terry Gross, the host of NPR's Fresh Air. Delmarva Public Radio signed on the air 25 years ago, May 29th, 1987, and has been bringing you great classical music and NPR news ever since. And that's thanks to your ongoing support. Happy anniversary, Delmarva Public Radio.
Football, baseball, soccer, lacrosse, gymnastics. How much is too much when it comes to your kids and sports? We all have children. I'm Jenny, by the way, involved in sports. And sometimes too much is just too much. Right, Kim?
Well, yes. I think sometimes too much is too much. But I'm hoping to get a little advice here. My son's play soccer. He plays it year-round, so we just know that we're doing soccer all of the time. Last year, he took up lacrosse, really enjoyed it, and we're doing lacrosse again this year. And he came home and said, "Mom, I really want to do track at school." He has been very excited about track. Well, track and lacrosse have practices the same day. One's from 3 to 4:15 right at school, so I just have to go and pick him up from school. I don't have to make a trip out there. And then lacrosse would be from 6 to 8, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Now, put aside how crazy it is that my schedule will revolve around his sports schedule. That's another topic. But can he really handle that much in one day? Can he do it physically?
I don't know. Can he do it physically? That's an excellent question. I mean, and, you know, you might want to talk to his lacrosse coach. And, you know, if he had to choose one or the other, which one would he choose?
I don't know. And I don't, he definitely doesn't want to choose. And I was outvoted in my house. I thought there's no way you can't do both. It is too much. You can't run for an hour and then take a little break and run for 2 hours, because that's basically what they're both going to be doing.
Well, you know, it might help build his stamina, certainly. But I might actually talk to his lacrosse coach, assuming lacrosse, you know, is the more organized sport. Probably than the middle school track team or whatever. But
ask how much is expected of him, in a sense, or let him know that he's doing track and
Just
say,
see if, you know,
what do
if
you think?
Yeah, I mean, he may selfishly say no, he can't do both. But, you know, get his advice on whether you think that could help build up his stamina and his, you know, his legs, certainly, or whether it's actually going to be too much for him and he could damage himself.
Well, that's the thing, is I know he can do it. Physically, he can do it. He could run around all day long. Like, he has the stamina for it. But is it healthy for him? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, my question is it healthy for you? I mean, let's take a step back for a minute.
Right. I love how she coaches that. It's nothing about her. Right.
No, I mean, really, you know, we've hit critical mass this year. There's an activity every single day after school. I can't imagine adding layer two to that now. And finally, and really, my son wanted to do basketball this spring. And I said, no, you know, we can't possibly be running from soccer to basketball and do homework and have dinner in one night. He's eight, so it's not quite as, you know, crucial at this point with high school. But no, I think, you know, that's just wearing on me too much.
It does. We have soccer, third session of soccer, and then baseball starts up, baseball practice. My husband is excited and thrilled, and we kind of let the soccer coach know, in a sense, that, you know, baseball is coming up, so that's going to be our first priority now. But when we can play in the games for the third session of soccer, we will do that. And I know what that means. I know what that means. That means that we're going to make every single attempt to get there a half hour early for everything, because this is the way my husband works. You know, sports, you have to dedicate and just do it. So I will be running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Well, but I think that is important to teach. If you are on a team, you have a team responsibility. You can't just all of a sudden say, oh, I'm going to go try this now. I mean, if you're going to sign up, be signed up. We have the same thing. A lot of our kids play soccer and baseball. And if there's a game, you know, either one, they don't show up for the other one or the other practice. So, yeah, how much is too much on these kids? And when does it, you know, clearly, when does it end?
Because the other side is they're still in school, so they've got homework, too.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of homework that comes home, so that's another great topic. But, you know, and I couldn't, I have to say this, because if it was just me running him around everywhere those two nights, I wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, my daughter needs, you know, some tender loving care too. So it is definitely a two-parent home, and my husband does help out with getting him where he needs to be, thank goodness. But yeah, it's a little crazy.
That's another important thing to talk about, though, is siblings. Because I know my 5-year-old doesn't really care to sit for his brother's soccer game after soccer game after soccer game all the time. He just gets sick of it. You know, it's not fun for him. And it's sometimes, I don't think, fair to him. And we, at one point, he was going to his brother's practices. And I'm like, oh, please, can we not go? You know, so my husband would take Steven to his practices, but I would stay home with Nick because he doesn't want to go sit at Crown for an hour and do nothing.
Well, and that's what we do. I mean, I do most of the transportation in our house. So if one goes, they both have to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, Ben is sitting at gymnastics a couple days a week and Andy's sitting at soccer a couple days a week. And, you know, thank goodness they can do homework in a crowdy, noisy environment, because that's really the only place it
gets
done.
They
have no choice.
It's funny, though. I remember, you know, growing up, I'm the youngest of 4 kids, and my brother was a huge athlete. He played baseball, basketball, and football. And I remember being dragged to all of his sports, and it was expected of me that as a family, we were going and supporting, you know.
Sure.
And now when I suggest that in my family, you know, my son will look at me like, what? I don't want to have to go see her play lacrosse. You know, like, what are you thinking? Like, I've lost my mind. And I believe strongly that we, you know, as a family should go to the sporting events together and support each other. So
I think
I'm working
games
on
are
that
important.
In my house.
I do. And I have seen Steven, my 8-year-old, come over when Nick, he plays goalie for his soccer team, and he doesn't stand there the whole time and watch, but when he does, he's like, how's he doing? Did they get a ball past him? You know, he sees him make a save, and he'll clap for him and be excited for him. And that is good. I really think it's good that they do support each other.
Yeah. I realize now, though, one of the reasons I might have enjoyed it was the fact that he was my older brother, and there were, you know, it was that high school. So, you know,
cute,
you're going.
Guys.
And
boys.
So my daughter doesn't mind going to the football games now because, you know, it's a whole different scene that she's exposed to. So.
Yeah. We have the whole family come. My in-laws live in Fruitland now, and my sister-in-law lives there, and her daughter. So the
you
entire
have a whole cheering
family
section
comes, and we cheer them on.
That's
and
great, though.
Yeah, it's
because it makes them feel, you know, like what they're doing is important, and I think that's special.
I agree.
I just think there are, though, a lot of families. I mean, we see it all the time where they're, you know, running from one sport, they leave that game a little early to catch the next mm-hmm. practice or sport, and oh. then they're leaving that and they have something, you know, later on that day. And, you know, of course we want the best for our kids and we want to expose them to as much as we can, but at what price are we really worth, you know, giving up all of our free time to run our kids everywhere they need to be?
Well, and I think the bottom line really is we do this to ourselves. I mean, you know, at some point we could say, do we really have to play the third session of soccer? Do we really have to do XYZ? So we do it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But if you don't play the third session of soccer, you might not be invited back next fall. I mean, there's all those things, too, you know?
You lose
so
your
we
spot.
Don't do it to
you
ourselves?
You lose your spot.
Well, I mean, it is decisions. You have to make those decisions.
Right.
And finally, you know, when your child comes to you and says, I don't want to play, you know, there are some parents who get pretty let down about that, too. It's like, why? You
right.
know?
Especially,
of course you want to play.
Especially when they get to later, like in high school, and there's no, you know, and they're so burnt out of that sport, and the parents have spent so much time
yes.
and money,
yes.
which we haven't talked about, on, you know, the traveling baseball team or whatever, but the time they get to high school, if that kid doesn't want to play, I mean, that's devastating.
When I thought about traveling, and we actually, Steven is signed up for a traveling soccer team, weekends are gone. You have to stay in hotels. You have to, that's money invested right there.
Oh, yeah. Not
to
mention
I think,
all
Kim,
the
you actually had this discussion in your family, too.
Oh, we definitely had that discussion. It was a really hard choice for us and a decision deciding, you know, whether or not to kind of join a travel team.
Yeah.
Big decisions.
So do you take your kids here and there and everywhere to make it to the soccer practice and the baseball game? I'm sure you do. But you can share with us on our Facebook page, Because I Said So, your ideas and comments on our topics that we're talking about. Thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.